Hello and welcome back to another edition of K-Pop Rama Podcast. I'm your host, Ganonman, and for today's episode, we are going to be reviewing a movie that is on Netflix. Yes, a Korean movie. And it is a movie called Sweet and Sour. Now, this movie came out back in 2021, but to be totally honest with you, with Valentine's Day literally right around the corner, I was looking for something that was romantic and wholesome. To be totally honest, because if you've seen the recent episodes on this show, you would know that I've literally been covering things that are graphic, violent, gory, grim, and depressing. I'm not trying to harp on those shows, a la Silent Sea, All of Us Are Dead, and so on, because they were good, they were great shows. But to be honest, for me, I need a switch up. I need something that will make me happy and not depressed. So we're going to be covering this movie because it, by all accounts, is a romantic comedy. So be on the lookout for that today. But before we get into all of that, of course, if you like the podcast and you like what we do, then make sure to like, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We're available on just about any podcast platform think of, and for on Apple or Spotify. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star rating on the podcast. It helps it a lot. And last but not least, our social media will be in the podcast description below. Now, with all that being said, let's get into Sweet and Sour. Okay, so to start the non-spoiler part of this review, let's start with a synopsis about the movie. So, Sweet and Sour is about a young couple who are going through highs and lows in their relationship as they are trying to make their long-distance relationship survive after real-world opportunities and challenges force them to be apart. So in this particular movie, Sweet and Sour, we see two characters, two main leads, in Daun, who's the female lead, who is a nurse who works in Incheon, and we also see Janhyuk, who also lives in Incheon, and is seeing Daun as well, obviously, and he is also an aspiring architectural engineer who is trying to make, you know, his relationship work with Daun as major things happens in his life, specifically in the movie. Now, just to provide some extra context about the movie as well, Sweet and Sour is based on a Japanese novel, so it's an adaptation of a Japanese novel called Imitation Love by Kurumi Inui. Now, as I've already said already, this is a Korean adaptation of this novel, and I should also add as well that a Japanese equivalent, so like a Japanese movie version of this exact novel, actually exists. It's out there. It came out back in 2015, and it's under the same title as the original novel, which is Imitation Love. So there's all of that. Just want to put that out there since, some of you guys might not know that this is actually an adaptation from, you know, a Japanese novel. So, you know, just want to get that out of the way. But with all of that being said, now, like I mentioned in the intro, I did say that I was specifically looking forward to this film because I just wanted a happy romantic comedy to laugh and smile at, which, to be honest, is true. I definitely got that with this film, but it is definitely a movie that I did not expect. Now, I say this because this movie takes a rather realistic take on how romantic relationships play out, and honestly, I was really surprised by it, to be totally honest with you. As I mentioned in the synopsis, we see both characters in this movie go through very major things that happen in their professional lives, and, you know, we see very clearly that, you know, whenever these kind of things happen in your, like, your personal careers, or if you just want your ambition to rise and whatnot, like, you know, that can sometimes get in the way of maintaining a healthy romantic relationship. And more often than not, Unfortunately, whenever you want to be ambitious or want to progress in your career, that might strain the relationship. And in some situations, it destroys it. And to be honest, that's exactly what happens in this movie. Now, I know saying this, you would think, oh man, that's really depressing. I mean, that's not a wrong assumption to say, but I think it's something that definitely strikes a chord with people because I am sure for most people, especially who are like working professionals who are like in their 20s or 30s, basically people older than me but are like still on the younger side, if you will, I'm sure this has happened at least once in their life. And I think for a lot of people, that is depressingly relatable. Now, don't get me wrong, aside from all of these realistic like struggles in love, I will say there's a lot of cute romance stuff that happens throughout the movie, which is great, is really cute, really nice to see. So it's not all like dark clouds and rainstorms for this film, so to speak. But I will say that this movie, without spoiling things any further, definitely takes a more, I guess, more realistic take on what struggles that, young couples often face in today's fast-paced society, and and how romance can sometimes be, I guess in this kind of case, more of a hindrance than something that actually is worth pursuing, if you get what I mean. So, there's all of that. But anyway, aside from all of that, I will say that the cast, for me, did an exceptional job in this film. To start off, I mean, Dae-yoon, who is the female lead, is played by Choi Soo-bin, and I really liked her performance in this film. She came off as someone who's very caring, understanding, and honestly, someone that you can sympathize with a lot. And as you will see later on in this review, you will see why I have this take on Dae-yoon's character. So, there's that. Jang Ki-young plays Jang-hyuk, or the main male lead in this film as well. He, I will also say, did a really good job in this film as well. I will say, his character definitely goes through a lot in this film, to put it mildly, bloody heck. But I will say, his performance definitely seals the deal on just how much of, God, I don't want to say spoilers here because I know this is the non-spoiler part, but I will say that John Hyuk's character is someone that you will, at the end of the film, not really have any sympathy for. Well, you might have some sympathy for him, but I will say that a lot of it will be taken away once you realize something that happens. But I will not get into that, of course, because this is the non-spoiler facts. But I will say that his character arc is something that's very interesting, and his actor in Jang Ki-young, sorry, he did a really, really excellent job in portraying that fact. So there's all of that. Now, lastly, this is probably like the other prominent lead in this film. It is Bo-young, who is played by Crystal Jung of SNSD fame. So, if you're familiar with Girls' Generation, you know who Crystal is. And you would also know that Crystal has also taken the opportunity to get into the acting business. And this is another film that she starred in. And I will say as well, even if she didn't exactly have a main role in this film, I will say that her role was really prominent in this film. And again, like I have to give props to Crystal for her performance as well because she did a fantastic job in her role as Boyoung. And to put it mildly, she acted exactly the way her character was supposed to be portrayed, and she did it phenomenally. So she did a really good job on that as well. And also to, I guess, since I'm already mentioning all of the actors as well, I will say the rest of the actors that you see in the show also did a really good job and, played their roles as well. So all of that is really, really good, and it made the movie really interesting and just a lot of fun to watch, to be honest. So, there's all of that. Now, all of that being said, I will say, even if this movie is something that I quite enjoyed, and even if it was something that I didn't exactly expect initially. It is still not a perfect movie by any means, but it is still something that is interesting enough. Now, I say this because I will say, like, after watching the film, there's definitely storylines where the writers definitely could have, you know, explored more, if you get what I mean, and it would have made the film a lot more interesting than it actually is. Because in the film, because the film in its current state is interesting and it's intriguing, but I wouldn't exactly call it a deep film, if you get what I mean. Like, it's definitely leaning towards more of the romantic comedy side of the romance genre, so to speak. But I will say, like, considering the kind of themes that they had going for, like, the themes that were mentioned in this film, I will say that there definitely could have been room to mention other things that would have made the film a lot more interesting, in my opinion. But that's something that didn't happen, and that's kind of something that is what it is, really. So, you know, just all of that. But I will say, even despite that critique for this film, I still believe that this film is a fun romantic comedy that also touches upon, you know, some genuinely serious and very realistic issues that happen in romantic relationships, and it is something that I think you, as the listener, will definitely enjoy. And also, I should say, because I didn't mention it earlier, there is also a twist in the story that happens that, honestly, still kind of blows my mind. I will mention it in the spoiler section, of course, but with the way the story unfolds, there is something that happens where I still can't get over how clever this twist was that happens. And I am still honestly really impressed by it. And it's probably the main feature of the show. Not the show, but the film. And honestly, the main reason why you should watch it. Just for this twist alone. So, you know, there's all of that. So, I guess since this movie is technically a romantic comedy, I guess it could probably be something that you could watch with your significant other on Valentine's Day. I don't know if I would call it like a date night movie. Maybe you would. I mean, I guess it really depends on your situation, I guess, if you're in this kind of situation anyway. But I will say it is definitely a romance film that is thought-provoking and also a lot of fun, and you don't really have to put much thought into it, and it's quite entertaining. So, you know, there's all of that. Now, with all that being said, that concludes the non-spoiler section of this episode. After we return from our usual ad break, we will get into my full non-censored spoiler-filled thoughts about Sweet and Sour. So we'll be right back after I talk about the wonders of the Anchor podcast platform. So be right back. Okay, we are back for the spoiler part of this review, or what I like to call my favorite part, because I don't have to worry about spoilers. Now, if you remember before we went on break, we talked about a twist that happens in this story that, honestly, like, I just to give you, like, some admin here, like, I watched this film yesterday on February 10th, right? And it's been 24 hours since I've watched this movie, and I'm honestly still not over the twist that happens in this story, because it's still mind-blowing to me in a lot of ways. And if you don't know what I'm talking about at this point, well, I mean, I think at this point you need to watch the film again, because, you know, this is really, really important part of the movie. But I'm sure if you've watched the film, you know that the fact that there are two different Jonhyuks that are in this story, per se, is blowing my mind. Because, like, at this point, I just have to give props to the writing team in this regard, because they did such a good job in deceiving myself and the audience into thinking that both Jonhyuks you see in this film are the same person. Because I honestly thought that they were the same person. And I'm sure for a lot of you listeners out there as well, who have watched the film, you thought that these two guys were the same. Because it just felt right, and you wouldn't really think otherwise that they're actually two different people until the story actually tells you at the very end, which still, again, blows my mind. And I think part of the reason why I'm just so shook and so amazed by this story twist, I think it's because of the way it's executed, of course. I mean, as I've already mentioned already, story-wise, it's brilliant because they deceived absolutely everyone, I guarantee it. But I think visually as well, I think they visually deceived everyone. Because, you know, like, as I've already mentioned already, like, you know, in terms of story, they crafted the story into making you think that the two John Hyuk's are the same person, right? But also, visually, like, these two male actors who played both respective John Hyuk, so Lee Woo Jae, who played the Lee John Hyuk, who was the John Hyuk who Daewon was treating at the hospital. There was that John Hyuk, and there's also the John Hyuk who's played by John Ki Young, right? Like those two guys, those two actors, like they just acted and also looked really similar. Like I think, if you were to tell me that, you know, Lee John Hyuk was actually played by John Ki Young, who had to take on weight for this film, like I think I would have believed you honestly, because Lee Woo Jae's performance, just like it didn't make me put two and two together that he was like a completely different character. You know, like they are both eerily similar in the way they act and the way they just are as a concept, and it's honestly just really impressive. So like I guess I just have to give props to both of those actors respectively, because they did such a good job in making you think that John Hyuk, though, that their each respective John Hyuk is actually the same person, because I was deceived. I mean, I know I'm emphasizing this so much, but we were all deceived by these guys. So, you know, props to them for pulling this off, because I think if they weren't at their best, or like if they didn't do their role well, I think the twist would not have had as much impact as it actually did on me. So again, props to them for that. But speaking on, I guess, the impact of the twist and how, like, in terms of story, right? Like, I think the twist completely changes the way I feel about the story and the characters, because it forces you to look back at everything that's happened. I mean, like, literally in the final 10 minutes of which when this twist happens, we go through literally like a 5-minute montage of the entire film, and you see everything fall into place. And it, for me, it changed the way I see this film now. Because, you know, knowing that Daewon's interactions with both John Hyuk's happened in the same timeline, just, it's just tragic, honestly. Like, it's just depressingly tragic to see the whole storyline in its entirety. Because what you really see, essentially, is a relationship that is blown up over the course of a few months in front of our eyes. And it's honestly really heartbreaking to see, because, you know, like we only got into this position in the first place because it was incredibly difficult for John Hyuk, or I guess I should say Slim John Hyuk, for the sake of continuity, right? Like, he was struggling to spend time with Daewon because he got a architectural engineering job in, you know, the main Seoul office of his company, right? Because, you know, as I mentioned in the non-spoiler part, like, both he and Daewon lived in Incheon, so he ended up having to commute to Seoul, like, every day, and also living in Seoul on his own. So, you know, obviously there was a lot of strain there for, you know, because he wanted to progress his career and, you know, potentially have a chance at bettering his life in terms of his, you know, professional career anyway. So, you know, obviously we see that strain there. And, you know, over time, as we see the film go on, we see just the effects of how professional life can really eat up and just take over everything that goes on in your personal life. Because, you know, I mean, as you see in the film, right? There's literally points where Jan Hyuk returns to Dawin's home, because I'm guessing they live together, right? And it like da Jan Hyuk is so tired at this point, like whenever he's working every single day, that every time he interacts with Dawin at home, in like the few like little snippets of time when he can actually go home, if you will, like the only time he ever interacts with Dawin is to either just not interact with her at all at home because he's just too tired, or he just straight up just passes out in her arms because of just simply how tired he is and how exhausted he is from work. And you know, with all of that in mind, like I can see why Dawin eventually, you know, fell for, if you will, for Lee Jun Hyuk from the hospital. Because, you know, if Dawin was basically going through this over a course of, I guess, just based on how time seemed to progress in the film, it seemed like this was happening for like a few months at this point. So like, I'm honestly not really surprised that Dawin like fell with for a hospital Jan Hyuk or Fat Jan Hyuk, because she was just simply trying to get some form of emotional support from someone, like literally anyone, because you know, of course, like she was trying to, you know, get that support from her boyfriend, but she was not getting that whatsoever because the dude is literally too tired and he just can't be bothered with Dawin and her needs because he's just too tired with his. And it's just really sad to see that. It's just really sad to see how over like a course of what seems to be like a very short amount of time, even if it's like a few months, like you just see this relationship just fall apart, and it's really sad. And I think to go back on Lee Jan Hyuk as well, like I think in a way it's I feel really bad for him as well, because look, don't get me wrong, like his interactions with Dawin is great, like it's super cute as hell. Like I like honestly like just straight up, like I honestly couldn't believe Lee Jan Hyuk's luck. I'm sure like Lee Jun Hyuk portrayed that to the audience as well, because he honestly was not believing his luck and he couldn't believe that he actually was in a reasonable position to say that, hey, wow, I actually have a chance with someone romantically. And look, this is like no disrespect to Lee Jan Hyuk or anyone who in his position as well, because there are tons of people in his position, right? But you know, like for someone like him, I'm sure it's really difficult to get into the dating life for him, for someone like him, because you know, there's a lot of obvious reasons why, like because you know, he's not exactly what you would call like physically attractive, if you get what I mean. You know, like I know that's so shallow. It is shallow. But let's be honest, when people try to find someone to date, that is one aspect of it that they look for. Like, you can't deny it, right? Like, people look for someone that they are physically attracted to. And I'm sure for Lee Jun Hyuk, like he probably was not on anyone's radar. Now, that's not to say that he is not on anyone's radar whatsoever, because I'm sure there is someone out there that would be attracted to him in that way. But, like, reasonably, from a realistic standpoint, I could not see a world where Dawin would be attracted to someone like Lee Jun Hyuk. Like, the only reason that Dawin was even fell for Lee Jun Hyuk to begin with was because of the fact that Lee Jun Hyuk is someone who was very emotionally attentive to her emotional needs. Like, that's literally the only reason why that she is even attracted to him to begin with. And that's only because she went through just weeks and months of neglect from her actual boyfriend. And I guess really what I'm trying to say is that Lee Jang-hyuk, like, I know at the very end he is going off with Dan to Jeju. Like, I guess this is the cynic in me, right? But I cannot see a situation where this isn't like a rebound relationship. Like, I'm sure if you know what a rebound relationship is, I'm sure you know what I'm referring to. But just looking at the way Daeun was, like, her face was when she was about to board the plane with Lee Jang-hyuk, she was not into it. Like, she was not into it whatsoever. Like, I think, like, she's kind of slowly realizing at that point that Lee Jang-hyuk is not the person that she, like, wants to be romantically with. And I think deep down, like, especially at the very end, right, I think she realizes and knows that she's still in love with her now former boyfriend in Slim Jang-hyuk. And it's really sad because really, like, part of me is kind of glad that they don't have Lee Jang-hyuk, like, that they don't have that breakup scene in this film, because Jesus, that would have been insult to injury at that point, really, because we all know what's coming with that. But still, like, it's really sad because you know that both leads in Daeun and Jang-hyuk, and also Lee Jang-hyuk as well, like, they're both all trying to find love. They want to find that emotional connection, but because of a lot of other circumstances, like, they just cannot. Like, they just can't. And I think that really does hark onto probably one of the main themes of this show. I mean, not show, but this film, is just the fact that relationships are hard. Like, I'm sure if you are in a relationship, or if you have been in a relationship before, like, you know this. Like, this is kind of something that you just find out after being in a serious relationship with someone, but they're really hard. And as you see in this film, like, it's, you know, there's a lot of things that happen that can be really, like, I mean, you know, it can be a proper struggle. Like, it could be a really, really hard to manage both your professional life and your personal life, and, you know, your personal time with your significant other, because, you know, things happen all the time in life, and you can be really busy with things, and sometimes you might end up neglecting things that you don't want to necessarily neglect, but you end up neglecting because, you know, you want to do well personally as well. So, you know, there's all of those factors as well. And it's, you know, it's just tough, you know? Like, I think, like, the arguments that Daeun and Jang-hyuk have, I think are genuinely really painful to watch. Like, even for me, right? Like, I'm not in a relationship at the moment, but, like, whenever you see Daeun and Jang-hyuk arguing, like, obviously they're rather agitated with each other for a lot of reasons, but I think it was just really painful to watch for me, and I'm not sure for you guys, but maybe for you guys as well, but they were just really painful because you could see just how real and relatable these arguments actually are, you know? Like, I think out of all of the argument scenes that you see between Daeun and Jang-hyuk, right? Like, I think the most painful one to watch, and I'm not saying it's bad because it's painful, but it's good because it's acted well, and it does exactly what, you know, the director of this film wanted you to feel. But, like, the moment when Jang-hyuk essentially self-reports himself, basically calling his co-worker Bo-young in a very cute and romantic way while talking to Daeun at the drive-thru, like, if you remember that scene, Like that scene was painful for a lot of reasons. Because one, like the dude, John Hyuk, like, dude, that's so dumb. Like that's such a bad self-report, and it's so stupid, you know? Like it's so like that you can tell that his priorities are not like they're not in the right place, if you get what I mean. But at the same time, I can totally see that happening. Like it's so like painfully real that I'm sure for a lot of people, especially those who have been in relationships that ended badly because maybe of circumstances similar, like it probably strikes a chord with those people, especially because you know they their arguments feel really real and they feel depressingly accurate at some points as well. And I think also as a side note as well, like I think if I were the attendant, the drive-through attendant in that moment, because literally like the attendant is literally watching Dahyun and John Hyuk literally have this very confrontational and emotional argument, and I'm like, man, I would hate to be that attendant because wow. Like I don't know, like I don't know what you would do in that situation, you know? Like obviously like you're if all of this stuff that Dahyun and John Hyuk are going through is obviously none of your business and like that you shouldn't really like chime in or anything for other than to give them their food, of course, but then like you can't really like excuse yourself from the situation because you have to be at the drive-through because that's your job, right? So that was just so insanely awkward. And like the fact that even like John Hyuk literally like left the drive-through without even picking up his food. I mean, I hope he paid, but like the fact that like even after all of that, like the drive-through lady was essentially like hanging and like that whole sequence was just painful, was like, oh man, that was so painfully accurate. And it just, oh man, it probably just felt too real for a lot of people. So, you know, I think really all of this is saying is like whenever you see how see relationships strained like this, like it just feels real with this movie. And I think in that regard, like this film and the cast did a really good job in portraying that. And you know, I think to go back on Dahyun and John Hyuk, I think like to go back to like their whole relationship, like I think when you think about it, like I think like I've spent some time thinking about this as well, but I think when you see how they are arguing, especially in that scene that I was talking about, right? Like I think it seems clear to me. I don't know if it seems clear to you guys, and let me know in the comments if you think otherwise, but I just couldn't help but feel that both characters, both leads, are very one and the same than either side might think, if you get what I mean. Like, they both are very similar in that they both essentially want to have their own cake and eat it, if you get what I mean. Like, I think. Now, look, this is all like just speculation for me, so you know, I might be wrong, but it just feels like both sides, both Dan and John Hyuk, like I think they both fell in love and met each other, so to speak, because I mean, of course they were probably physically attracted to each other, but they also wanted each other's emotional satisfaction, if you get what I mean. And I think you know, I think when most people fall in love, I'm sure these are like very important aspects that, you know, like these needs are filled when these kind of relationships happen. But I think both sides weren't really willing to negotiate how their needs are fulfilled, so to speak. Like, I don't think really John Hyuk or Dahyun were really willing to come to a compromise, which I think in relationships, successful relationships, might I add, like I think there's a lot of room to negotiate and delegate to make sure both sides are happy. But I just think, like, even if, like, I will say, just to be fair to both Dawn and Jonghyuk, right? Like, I think they both made attempts to make it work. Like, they really, really tried to make it work. But ultimately, I think both of them just had completely different interests and were just simply just not compatible with each other in terms of just emotional being, you know? Like, I just don't think it worked. And I think that's probably why both sides inevitably just became disinterested of each other. Like, I know, like, in the film, especially, like, Jonghyuk's, like, path to disinterest towards Daeun became really, really apparent because, you know, a lot of screen time was dedicated to him at his new job and also to his interactions with Boyoung as well, because obviously that was a very, very, very big temptation for him as well. Like that was obviously there, but I think also for Daeun's side as well, like you could tell, like just by seeing Lee Jonghyuk, like she was just, you know, she was just so disinterested and just so tired of Jonghyuk and just him being so self-centered that she just wanted to, you know, have her needs filled too. And in the end of the day, like both sides just ended up being really, really selfish. And it's quite sad, really. Like, again, like I know I already emphasized this already, but like this, just seeing how this relationship just breaks down and collapses at this point, to this point, is just really, really sad. And it made for a, arguably, you could say it's an unsatisfying ending. Like, if you think it's kind of like a bad ending or like an unsatisfying one, like, honestly, I don't blame you. But I think logically, it's probably the right way to end a film like this. Because, you know, I think even despite all of the shenanigans that happens between Daeun and Jonghyuk, right? Like, despite all of their relationship conflicts and their struggles and their sh and all the strain that's happened, like, I think deep down, I think both sides know that they care about each other and love each other very much. But I think it's clear, especially at the end, that Daeun knows, like, deep down, that cutting ties with someone that she still clearly cares about a lot is the right decision, because she just feels like the bridge has been burned and damaged too many times to the point where any attempts to repair it is just not worth it. And that's kind of how the film ends. And you just see both sides going their separate ways, and they both long for each other. But ultimately, you know, it's just not gonna work, you know? And I think, if anything, right? Like, I will say, because I know I've, like, criticized Jonghyuk's character a lot in this section. And to be honest, his character kind of deserves it, because he just became so obsessed with work to the point where he just straight up just neglected his significant other. And I think in this aspect, like, I know, like, you know, like Jonghyuk deserves a lot of criticism for what he did, but at the same time, like, you kind of feel bad knowing that he basically sacrificed so much, including Daeun, like literally everything, for a chance, a slim chance to provide a better life for himself, only for it to just be something that fades away because you realize that his company was basically using him for cheap labor, and now his services are no longer required, and he's getting the slip to say adios, bye-bye, see you later, which I guess in that aspect is really sad. But, you know, again, like, it, I think really ultimately, this whole story, this shows you how relationships can be hard, and sometimes, Even if you care about each other a lot, sometimes maybe the best decision, if you're in a situation like this, is to break it off, because it's obviously clear that it's just not gonna happen. And unfortunately for Daeun and Jeonhyuk, like, they unfortunately chose the option for infidelity instead, which, look, I would criticize both sides for doing that, because at the end of the day, cheating is cheating, And even if, even for Daeun, right? Like, even though I'm like quite sympathetic for her character, like, she still cheated on her boyfriend, Like, that's still pretty messed up. And, again, like, it just shows you that relationships are messy. They're hard, they're complicated, and they can be really, really strange sometimes. So, there's all of that. But I guess if there's anything else to say about this film, it's that, despite all of the good things that I've said about this film, right? Like, I think there are missed opportunities. Now, I think two big ones that I think this movie could have used is, well, one, an origin story of how Daeun and Jeonhyuk met, because for the record, I don't think we really got that in the film. Like we definitely know the story of how Daeun and Lee Jeonhyuk met, like in the hospital and all that, but we don't really know how Jeonhyuk actually met Daeun and how they fell in love. So I would have loved to see that, but maybe they're just trying to follow the source material. So I mean, it's kind of hard to say, but I think the big potential storyline for me, which I feel like is a missed opportunity now, is more about Daeun's decision to go with the abortion. Because, as you see in the film, right? Like, there's a big moment in the movie when Daeun basically tells Jeonhyuk that she's pregnant. And like you would think like this moment would be like a happy moment for both of them, but it gets clear rather quick that they're not particularly happy about it. And, considering the fact that we see a scene later on where both of them go to an OBGYN, and there's a moment where I think it's implied that Daeun got the abortion. Like, I might be wrong, but because they don't like directly mention it, like implicitly, but I think it's implying that she actually did. Like, I think the fact that she ended up having to deal with that, like the pain and sadness from that alone, and knowing that like Jeonhyuk basically went see you later and like went somewhere else the whole during that whole process is like, oh man, that I would have loved to see more of, like, specifically talking about that minor plot line, because I think it's a very big one. That I think low key it's genuinely a storyline that is kind of a big deal. Like, I think it would have definitely upped the ante in terms of like emotional stakes. But again, like, since this is an adaptation, and since this is based on a an original novel, like maybe that novel maybe didn't really focus on that kind of thing. But I think personally, I think if we saw that happen in the movie, I think it would have been really interesting, because there's a lot of story that could happen there, if you get what I mean. But we didn't get that at the end, but I think it's just more of a missed opportunity, if anything. But but I think, I guess to sum up all of this, I think overall, this movie, like I mentioned in the non-spoiler part of this review, is a lot of fun and definitely something that I recommend just for the story twist at the end, because that twist is worth admission. Now, this movie definitely talks about, relationships and how hard they can be in today's world, and I think it does a really good job at that. Now, admittedly, it could have been better. it could have been something that could have been a lot more deeper than it actually was. Like, it could have been a lot more than what we actually got. But at the end of the day, it's still a really decent film. And I honestly would recommend it to anyone who needs a film on Netflix, to watch on Netflix, because it's really decent and I really enjoyed it. But on that note, that concludes this review of Sweet and Sour. I really hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of the podcast, and hopefully this review gives you, you know, a good recommendation for a potential Valentine's Day movie, because this is definitely a movie that you could watch on Valentine's Day. Now, I know, like, considering the day that this is being released, right? Like, I know there might be people wondering, because there is a certain movie that came out today called Love and Leashes that is, well, I feel like I don't really have to say much about the film, because just saying the title of the movie, this sends people into a frenzy, because, you know, because if you've seen the advertisement and the posters, like all of the hype for this movie, you can tell, I mean, you would know that it is something that is very, very unorthodox. God, that's such a like mild way to say it, but unfortunately, like I just didn't have enough time to fit that review to release it today. But more likely than not, I'll probably release it sometime in the future, because honestly, like if this movie wasn't released like sooner, like if it were released sooner, like I would have definitely reviewed that movie today. But unfortunately, due to how scheduling works, I couldn't do that. But I mean, that movie in of itself is a date night movie, 100%. So be on the lookout for that in the future. But again, but just to look, go back to Sweet and Sour, I really hope you guys enjoyed this review, and be sure to tune in to another episode next week. But until then, this is Gian from the K-Pop Rama Podcast, signing off. Take care and have a brilliant weekend, everybody. Peace. Bye-bye. Aloha. Have a great Valentine's Day, everyone. Bye-bye.